Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Of course, this is part 4 of our series, Being Led of the Holy Ghost. We had a little bit of a detour last week with Christmas, and the Spirit of God led us in a different direction. And we were blessed for it. Amen. God knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Father, we thank You for the Word. Lord, not only did You save us, but You gave us a roadmap that takes us to all the wonderful promises and blessings that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus offered and made available to us. So we thank You for Your Word. Help me to minister Your Word. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we're only endeavoring to say what You want to say. So Father, like the psalmist of old wrote, he said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Lord, that is my heart's cry this morning, to speak as the oracles of God, that there would be a demonstration of the Spirit and power here this morning, that hearts would be touched, lives would be changed. And Father, we thank You that when we hear something today that strikes a chord with our own heart and our own life, it's a sign unto us of how real You are, that You love us, but also that this is a safe place where we can come and hear from heaven. So Father, we thank You for it. We give You the praise. We give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, it's an honor to spend New Year's Day with all of you. I don't know about you, but those of you that were here last week, I really enjoyed having church on Christmas morning. That was awesome. I can't wait for that to happen again. I guess Christmas next year, or Sunday, will be on Christmas Eve next year. So we'll get a little bit of Christmas in there. Praise God. But Proverbs 3 and verse 5, this is our golden text. I'm only going to do a very fast review. All the messages are online. Just go to familychurchsouthdayton.org, click on media, and then go under archives, and they'll be labeled under there. You want to listen to these services. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So we've said that this is where we're launching from in this series, that God has promised us in this verse that every affair of life, every avenue of life, everything that we encounter in life, what? Raising kids, jobs, where to live, what person to date and marry, everything in life, what to do with our money, maybe a healing's eluding us, anything at all. God is saying, here's your invite. Acknowledge me. It's kind of like the whole thing with money. God said, I'll give you the power to get wealth. I'll teach you how to profit. If you want to know how to get better financially, just listen to God. And if you want to know how to get better in any area of your life that you're struggling in, maybe you can say, man, in 2016, it was the same old, spinning my wheels, just making the rut even deeper. Well, find out from God what to do and then change it and watch Him work in your life. Amen. He promised you, He said, I'll direct your paths. We saw when God directs paths, He directs them by the green pastures, by the still waters. His will is, and according to 3 John verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So when He guides and directs, He only guides you and directs according to what His will is. His will is prosperity and health. So when He's directing you, He's directing you on those kind of paths. Amen. So it does you good to follow the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'll guide you, I'll lead you. We saw how He does that. You don't have to turn there or look there. We can just write this down because this is real fast. If you need the other weeks, go back and listen. But we saw in Romans 8 and verse 14, He says, for as many as are led, remember He said, I'll guide and direct your paths. Well, He said, I'll lead you. How's He going to lead you? He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. He said, they are the sons of God. The way that God is going to lead you and guide you beside the still waters, into the green pastures, into health and wealth, and all the promises that He has for you is going to be through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we saw at the new birth, again, this is review, we saw at the new birth, what do I mean by that? When we got born again, when we accepted Jesus, that the Holy Ghost came and moved in on the inside of us. We saw that we have a spirit, but also when we got saved, our spirit became brand new, and God moved in on the inside of us. Jesus said, you'll know the Comforter, for He will be with you, and He will be in you. Praise God. And so we saw that the role of the Holy Spirit when He indwells the believer, He said He will not speak on His own behalf, but whatsoever He hears, that's what He'll say. So the Holy Spirit hears from the Father, relays it to our spirit, and that's why the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's a candle? It's like a flashlight. It's used to keep your path straight. Help you not to trip up. Help you not to run into things. Help you not to encounter pitfalls that you didn't need to. That's what a candle does. It lights the way. He said, I'm going to light your way by your Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost is going to hear from God, and the Holy Ghost is then going to relay what God is saying, and then if you'll do what God is saying, it'll direct your paths onto prosperity, health, and all the blessings that God has for you, maneuvering through this life, this world that's run by the devil. That nasty devil's after you, but my God, we got a bigger God. Praise the Lord. We got a better answer. Praise the Lord. And we saw that it pays to follow God. We saw examples in the Bible of people that were told, and following the Holy Spirit is really just listening and following God. And so we saw when people got a word from heaven and did what God said, it spared them so much. I have seen people be spared years of heartache because the Holy Ghost told them to do something and they listened and it spared them years of heartache. And then I've seen people go through years of heartache because they didn't do what the Holy Ghost said and there's fallout from it. I've seen people absolutely walk into wealth and prosperity and new jobs and victory by following the Holy Ghost. And in the same time, I've seen people walk into defeat, walk into struggle and walk into crisis, conflict and chaos because they didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. It pays to follow God. Amen? And he invites us and says, this is how you can do it. So we'll pick up this week. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Oh, messages are so important. Life can be so different for you going forward. It is such a joy and privilege when you learn to follow the Holy Ghost. Getting God's input and God's opinion and God's ways on everything, number one, keeps you safe. But what a blessing to have the Father guide and direct you. My goodness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, he said, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. So he's talking about you as a person. He said, I pray God your. So now he's talking about you. Now notice this, what he says about you. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about you, but in talking about you, he tells you that you are a triune or a three-part being made up of spirit, soul, and body. Well, we know this, the spirit man is the real us. It's the one that when this life ends naturally for us, the body, the natural man, stays here on the earth, gets put in the grave, or however you've set it up to do once you go. But the real us, the spirit of man, goes to be with the Father to live eternally. Praise God. But we saw a lot of people get the spirit and the soul mixed up in the Bible, and we'll see a little bit more of that today to clarify that. But the spirit and the soul are different things. That's why I said spirit and soul and body. The spirit of man is the new creation born again. The soul of man is the mind, the will, the thoughts and things of man. But then he also said it's a body. Well, what's the body? The body is the earth suit that houses the spirit of man. So the Bible says we are a three-part being, but notice in Romans 8:14, he says you're only led, or God's only leading, or God's only involved in directing you through one of those three. He said, for as many as are led not by the body, for as many as are led not by the mind or the soul, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And ladies and gentlemen, again, I make this statement not to just throw a broad statement out there to be exciting or get your attention. It's the truth. Most Christians know nothing about being led by the Holy Ghost. They know how to be led, but they're not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by their body, or they're being led by their mind, and they're not being led by the Holy Ghost. And we saw 2 weeks ago, we talked about the body. And we saw in all three of these beings, a triune being that you are, spirit, soul, and body, each one of those will attempt to lead you, and each one of them will attempt to lead you by each one of those voices. And each one of those has a voice. And we saw the body, just real quick review. The body, the voice of the body is feelings and emotions. And oh, how people get in trouble by being led and doing what their body and their feelings want to do. Oh, man. We're a week behind in Olean last night. I said, I hope you brought your steel toes, because we went after the body last night and just pointed some things out. And I received texts after people said they were set free from something that was said that for 3 years had dogged them, and they got their answer in a service where the steel toes were needed. Praise God. God can do it. Hallelujah. He is so wonderful. He is so wonderful. But people go by feelings, and the Bible says we don't walk by sight or by feelings. We walk by faith. Glory to God. We saw people in the Bible got in trouble when they went by how they feel. The body and the emotions and your feelings can lie to you. Absolutely, they can. You know, I remember when God told me to go to Ramah, and I had no friends. I didn't know anybody, had no money, and that's the Bible school I went to in Oklahoma, for those that don't know. And I'll tell you what, my emotions, my feelings were saying, don't do it. Oh, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be so tough. But the Spirit of God was telling me to go. Hallelujah. And the problem with people following their body or their emotions or their feelings is that there are times God will lead you into something that will make your flesh so uncomfortable. But then there are also times that the flesh will be so appeased and so happy about something, but God's not in it at all. Now, there are times God leads you into things and it feels good to the flesh as well, but that's why the Holy Ghost helps you cut right all through that garbage and get right down to the nitty-gritty. Now, again, you need to go back and listen to that message, because a lot of Christians are going by feelings. How do I know? It's like Esau. Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. He gave up his inheritance, his opportunity to have the covenant cut through him and not Jacob, all because his flesh was so loud in telling him, I need this soup, I'll give you my birthright. Well, people go by their feelings all the time and forfeit so much. Do you know that God is speaking in here on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings? Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, God has given such precious, for example, like last night, I said something through the Holy Ghost and get a text after the person. I wondered why the person was crying the whole service. I thought, what did I do? Well, the God did something good, and they texted me and said, 3 years they've been dogged by a problem, and you said something and it set me free. Well, what about, how many times is God endeavoring to get that kind of mail to people? And they say, I'm too tired to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. I just feel it's just too hard. I don't want to get ready. It's too cold outside. I don't feel like doing that. Oh, you're forfeiting so much. Hallelujah. How many times has God endeavored to minister to us to give us our answer? And the answer is found in prayer. And we go to pray and we get down in that place and we endeavor to pray. And all of a sudden our body starts saying, I'm hungry. I'm tired. This is boring. What are you doing? And we forfeit that place of prayer because our body, and we were led by our body.
That's right.
You know why? You know, there's a lot of people that are sick in the body of Christ because they're led by their body. What they put in their body, how they treat their body. Absolutely. I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, will you pray for my healing? I go to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, and the Spirit of God says, don't you pray for their healing. You pray for them another way, but not their healing. Said their diet's wrong. They won't exercise. They don't do the right things with their body. You can't claim healing and do dumb things with your body.
That's right.
Amen. But people are led. Their bodies are so loud. The voice of the body. Well, hallelujah. The mind has a voice as well. Go back and listen to that body one. Hey, but just put the right boots on before you do it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you know what, folks? Just to be, as you know, the Bible says when you walk by the flesh, you're a carnal baby. He likens people that are whatever their bodies say they do. If their body says they're tired, I'm not going to go do spiritual things. It's kind of like the time I needed an answer, and I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I said, I'd love to pray. I'd love to seek God. I said, but every time I go to pray, all of a sudden I'm so hungry. I mean, I just have visions of cheeseburgers. I mean, they're just right there. Or I get super tired, or I have thoughts bombard me. He said, Pastor Mike, what do you do in that time? I said, I just stop praying. He started laughing. He said, that's all the devil has to do? He said, you're that carnal that when one little thing comes, I said, yes, I'm that carnal. Pull the pacifier out of my mouth, Pastor, and help me to grow up. Praise God. See, the mark of a spiritual Christian is one that does not go by their feelings, but goes by the Word of God and goes by what their spirit says, regardless of how it feels.
Amen.
That's the mark of spirituality. And the Bible says that the people that go by their flesh, they're carnal. They're like babies. Do you know that my son is way more productive now as a six-year-old than he was as a two-month-old? Let's be honest. Babies don't really add much value to the home. You know what? Don't get me wrong. You moms out there, don't start throwing darts at me. Let me finish. I mean, they don't really add any type of help. They don't add any type. You know, like Caleb, now I can get him to sweep for us. I can have him, if I'm sitting there, I need him to go get something for me. Just different things. He can take out the garbage. Just different things like that is what I mean. What a baby does is they add a lot of things, a lot of smells. They add some things, but some they're not very productive, right? What am I saying? That as you grow up, you can be used more. Amen. Babies can't be used very much. You can't trust a baby. I can trust my 6-year-old more. I can't trust him more than I could a 12-year-old or more than I could even someone older. But I can trust my 6-year-old more than I can a 2-month-old or a 3-month-old. Sure. Amen. Amen. That's the same way with Christians. You know, people are so carnal. They do whatever their flesh says, whatever their flesh wants to do. And God says, can't use them. Can't use them. Paul said this. He said, I tell my body what to do in order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, he said, if I don't tell my body what to do and I just do whatever my body says to do, he says, I'll be disqualified. Yeah. What's he saying? God won't be able to use me. Yeah. God's endeavoring to use people, but they're just such carnal babies. I'll tell you, it's crazy to me. I have people come to me all the time. Pastor, I want to serve. They write on the blue card. I want to help where needed. Pastor, can I serve? And I'll say to them, you can serve. All I need you to do is be faithful to sit in a seat for 6 months. And boom, I don't hardly ever see them. But they were so excited to serve, but they can't be used because they're not faithful. And they'll come back after a month or two times. Pastor, I want to do something in the church. Well, the first thing you need to do is sit in a seat and be faithful. But we're carnal at times, right? We don't want to be carnal. And just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, just to kind of put a banner out there for 2017, this church, this is not a flesh church. What do I mean by flesh church? Flesh churches are popping up all over the country, and they're growing at an alarming rate. Just because there's a big crowd doesn't mean God's in it. Amen. Now, God can be in it, but I'm just saying, just because it's a big crowd, that church must be doing something. Listen, if they're not teaching the word, if they're not flowing with the Holy Ghost, if they won't tell you how to live your life, tell you that holiness is not the word holy is not the dirtiest four-letter word in the church, although it's been that way. Holiness is still in play, people. God is still telling you how to live your life. God is still telling you to live for righteousness. It's not passed away. And so we're going to just preach the word here. Amen. We're not trying to fill seats. We're trying to be not trying to be popular, but be faithful. So let's go on. Not only are you a body, but the Bible says you're also a soul or a mind. Now, the voice of the mind, are you ready? The voice of the mind is thoughts and reasonings. And they're trying to lead you, and God's not in those things. Didn't he say in Proverbs chapter 3, lean not? What's he saying? Don't rely. Don't put all your weight. Don't put all your eggs in the basket of your understanding. He said, lean not on your understanding. What's he saying? Don't do it the way you think it should be done. Don't do it the way that you think would be best or what seems right to you. The Bible says that's not the way to do it. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Let's see what God says about our thoughts right off the bat. And let's get it straight in our mind that we're going to flush all of our stinking thinking down the drain, regardless of if it steps on our toes, regardless of if it pets our fur backwards and mows our grass sideways. Who cares if grandma told us a certain way, grandpa told us a certain way, preacher so-and-so told us a certain way? What does the Bible say? That's all I'm interested in.
Amen.
Amen. It's the stinking thinking that causes us to have wrong.
That's right.
Amen. These messages that bring correction, you ought to welcome them. God said he corrects those who he loves. And it's the things you're doing wrong, ladies and gentlemen, that are hurting you. It's not the things you're doing right that are hurting you. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways. That's why we need to get his thoughts and his ways, because his ways are best, and his ways might be crazy to our ways and crazy to our mind, but he just says right off the bat, I want you to know, you don't think like me.
That's right. Amen.
You don't do things the way that I do things. He says in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Well, that's why he told you don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Why? Because he's saying, your understanding and the way I do things, totally different. Totally different. Now go with me to Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Praise God.
Amen.
We're getting help here this morning.
It'll
spare you so much. You can walk into prosperity, walk into joy, walk into so much blessings, learning to follow the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 25, there is a way that seems right unto man. You know, what's it talking about? Thoughts and reasonings, your ways, your thoughts. Oh, yeah, that's the way I've always done it. That's the way grandma said it, grandpa said it, mommy, daddy said it, so-and-so said it. That just seems like the right way to do it. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, that's just the truth. I want to show you something, that the voice of the mind is thoughts and reasonings. And a lot of people in the body of Christ, I'm telling you, the majority of the body of Christ are not being led by the Spirit. They're either being led by their own thoughts or being led by their body. I know, I used to be there. And I still trip up and have to repent and get back on the Spirit side of doing things. But go to Acts 21 and verse 11. I want to show you an example in the Word here of how people follow thoughts and reasonings over what the Spirit of God is saying. Actually, go to Acts 21 and verse 10. Hallelujah. God's good. Okay. Remember when Ananias, when Paul was on the road to Damascus as Saul, and a great light shined about him and knocked him on his can. And he accepted Jesus on that road to Damascus. Remember, Ananias had a vision. In the vision, he was told to go over to Saul, and tell him, and lay hands on him so he receive his sight. But also he said, tell him the great things he's going to do for me, but tell him in those great things that there's going to be a lot of natural opposition. There's going to be a lot of natural attacks in doing that. He said he's going to suffer in the natural. And you might think, well, if Paul had to suffer in the natural, why do you preach that we don't have to suffer? Paul was a plower. Amen? When the snowplow guys go out in the middle of the night, they go through things so you won't have to go through those things. Paul was laying the groundwork so we could walk into the revelation. And he had supernatural deliverance and victory, but he was told that his path naturally was going to be a tougher one for what the call on his life would be. See, we say it this way, new level, new devil. Amen? The higher up you are in the body of Christ, the more influence you have, the more opposition. See, the devil doesn't have to mess around with people that aren't doing anything. He said there's a great door and effectual, a great door of opportunity, but at the door, 2 Corinthians 16:9, he said there are many adversaries that stand at the door. Well, if you're doing nothing for God, doing nothing, man, the devil just leave you alone, but you won't do anything for God and won't get all that God has for you either. But you go and press into the things of God. I found this, that when we get into new buildings, go into a new level spiritually, God starts ministering to me about new levels financially. Man, there is such attack and opposition. Why? The devil wants to keep you out of those things. So that's why Paul received it all, because Paul was on a level that will never, ever be or have to be at with the mandate and the call that was on his life. So Acts 21, he's already been prophesied to that he would have tough times. In verse 10, Acts 21, verse 10, it says, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, if you look up and study Agabus, he was a prophet who had credibility. He heard the voice of God. It said, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. So he took Paul's belt off of Paul. Now look at what he did. And he bound his own hands and feet. So he went up to Paul, took Paul's girdle off, and tied his own hands and feet with Paul's girdle. Why was he doing that? He was demonstrating what the Spirit of God said. It said, and bound his own hands, feet, and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns the girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So he said, I'm taking this girdle, I'm tying myself up. He says, the exact same thing is going to happen to the man that owns this girdle by the Jews at Jerusalem. So he was telling Paul, the Holy Ghost is so good to warn people. He was telling Paul, this is going to be your fate in Jerusalem. Now, nowhere in that prophecy did God say, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul already knew he had a mandate to go down to Jerusalem. And actually, after Paul, this comes to pass, and Paul gets captured, Jesus appears to Paul and says, okay, you did your thing in Jerusalem, the same thing in Jerusalem, now you have to go to Rome. Paul never got corrected. Paul never got chastised for going to Jerusalem. Paul heard from the Holy Ghost, already knew that wherever he went was going to be tests and trials. And Agabus is just demonstrating what he knew in the Holy Ghost and getting Paul prepared and ready. But there were other people that heard it. Verse 12 says, and when we heard these things, both we and that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Well, somebody is not being led by the Holy Ghost here. Somebody's being led by feelings, emotion, but also thoughts and reasonings. Here the disciples saw the prophet who they knew they could put faith and trust in. They saw him do a demonstration and say, if Paul goes down to Jerusalem, this is how he's going to end up. Well, they, in their mind, instead of asking God, they just reasoned in their head, it must be bad, it must be terrible, don't go to Jerusalem. Oh, how we do that. We get pros and cons lists, and we go by that. We get opinions of people. If we can get enough opinions for the good side, we'll do it. If we get enough opinions on the bad side, we'll stay away. If the pros and cons list, we reason in our head. We take popular opinion polls. That's not how God leads. And they were trying to say, don't go to Jerusalem. Why? Because they prayed. But because they saw a demonstration and reason in their mind, oh God, he's going to get taken captive. That must just mean he must not go. No, Paul was already told everywhere he went, he was going to suffer great things for the cause of Jesus. So look what Paul says. Oh, Paul, I can't wait to meet Paul. You think I'm bold, you wait till you meet Paul. You'll say, Pastor Mike was like Mickey Mouse. You know, I just thought, sometimes when my voice gets high, it kind of sounds like Mickey. I just thought of that. That's great. Abby will appreciate that when I get home. I'll do that when I get home. But anyways, verse 12, it says, verse 13, Paul answered. He says, what mean you to weep and break my heart? He's saying, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? He said, I don't need this from you. He loved those people. He said, why are you putting on this show knowing I got to go and do this? Why are you making my call hard on me by being emotional? Yeah. Amen. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say it. I'll just say it this way. You know, a lot of people, and this goes back to being led by emotions and feelings, a lot of people don't obey God because they're family members, because close people, people will set aside God's will and God's plan because family members will make them feel bad, will put pressure on them. That's why I say blood is not thicker than water. Blood is thicker than common sense. People have done ridiculously stupid things in the name of family. Absolutely, they have. God is your family. He's number one over your natural family. You say, Pastor, that's harsher against families. No, I'm pro-family, but I'm pro-Jesus more. Jesus said this, remember when they came up to him, they said, Lord, your brothers are here, your mother's here, your dad's here, your sisters are here. He said, no. He said, my brothers, mothers, and sisters are the ones that do the will of God. He's saying, number one comes the family of God, not the family, natural family. I'm pro-family. We ought to be for family, love family, do things for family, but not in the name of disobeying the Holy Ghost. And that's what people do. All the time I see it. People bypass exactly what God is saying to do, and God is trying to walk out because if I walk that out, I feel bad. What could happen to them? And you reason this in your mind, just follow the Holy Ghost. You don't think that God knows best. Amen. You don't think that God is the most loving. He's not trying to lead anybody into harm or to hurt anyone's family. My God, and that's what they're doing. Paul says, why are you doing this to me? I don't need this. You ought to be supporting and encouraging me. He said, why did he break my heart? He said, for I am ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. I remember when I was getting ready to go to Oklahoma, you know, the Lord supernaturally spoke to me, go to Rhema. I heard that audibly in a service when my pastor was given a salvation call in Fredonia. And I heard that, and I knew to go to Rhema, and that was the fall of 2002, I heard that. So I went the following year to Winter Bible Seminar in February because I followed God. That's the quickest I could get there. And I followed and went to Rhema. When I was at Rhema, the Spirit of God said, you're not here for this purpose. Not that you can't benefit, but you're not here for this purpose. I want you to come back to school in the fall. So I obeyed that. But when I was getting ready to go in the summertime of 2003, getting ready to go to Rhema in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, I had a membership to a gym with my dad, and we were there, and there was a pastor there who, actually the gym was owned by the pastor at the church, and so we worked out there a little bit, and I was on, I believe it was the treadmill that day, and he was next to me, and he had seen me interact with his youth at his church. And he started to talk to me, and what do you feel? You feel called to the ministry? He knew that I did. What do you feel called to? And I said, yeah, the Lord spoke to me. I'm going to Kenneth Hagin's Bible School in Oklahoma. I'm leaving in the fall. He said, I don't know why you're going to do that. He said, I've seen you interact with our youth. He said, there's a Bible school in upstate New York. He said, why don't you go to that Bible school? He said, my church will pay for it. He said, we'll even pay for you to have living. You don't even have to get a job while you're there. You just worry on about your studies, and you come home on the weekends. You can see your friends and family. You can still hunt, which those things were very important to me back then, you know. When I go to Oklahoma, hunting's gone. Friends and family are gone. Being uncomfortable, all of a sudden having to get a job. I worked from morning till afternoon, or I went to school from morning till afternoon and then worked right from an hour I got out of school until about 10 o'clock at night. And that, you know, wore me out on top of doing the schoolwork. And I knew that was what awaited me. Also, not having money, no family support. I mean, I just came off of 26 jobs in 2 years. Before I got born again, my family had heard everything that I was going to be, from a fisherman in Alaska to a speech pathologist to a physical therapist to a gym teacher. I mean, they heard it all. So when I told them I was going to be a preacher, they weren't going to fund it. Let's just say it that way. Anyways, and so when I went to Oklahoma, or I was getting ready to go to Oklahoma, he said, why would you go there? He said, why don't you go to our Bible school? You come home on the weekends. We'll pay for it. We'll pay for living expenses. And he said, before you leave, we will sign a contract that if you graduate from the Bible school, we'll sign a contract that states that when you get back from Bible school, you will be on our staff, paid staff, full-time, with benefits. It will have it in writing and have it signed by a lawyer, and it'll be official if you go to our Bible school. Now, let me tell you, that played on my emotions, and that played on my mind, because I started reasoning in my head. Well, it is a Bible school. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. All churches are not created equal. Just because it says church, just because there might be a Bible, and just because there's a minister, does not mean it's equal. You want to go where the Spirit is and where the Word is. I'm not saying this is the only place, but I'm saying all churches, I know, I have experience. And I started reasoning in my head, especially a younger Christian, not knowing very much. I thought, my God, that sounds great. Oh, the thought of that and reasoning. And the whole time, the Spirit of God, in which I'll teach you starting next week, how to be led by the Spirit. Because we got to teach you how not to follow these things first. The Spirit was saying, don't you do it, don't you do it. And boy, it sounded so good, sounded so great. Reasoning, you know, like they did with Paul. Paul, that's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Don't go. Well, here's the thing. When I went to Bible school and I went there, all hell broke out in my life. Financially, my truck broke down. I got sicker than I had ever been sicker in my life. I missed 2 full weeks of classes at a faith and healing Bible school, lost about 20-some pounds, came home at Christmas time, was almost unrecognizable, and here I was at a faith and Bible school following God with no money and sick, but it was God the whole time, not doing those things, but the devil was trying to keep me, put thoughts in my head to get me to run back home to the free Bible school. To be at home where it's comfortable. The Spirit of God said no. And ladies and gentlemen, let's just say this. I would not be your pastor today had I followed that. I would have been out because that camp doesn't believe in healing. That camp doesn't believe in laying on of hands, miracle signs and wonders, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They believe in a whole different thing, and I'm not sure what it is. It sure ain't the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
They have a form of godliness. You ever heard that in the Word? A form of godliness, but denying the power. Amen. There's a lot of churches and people that have a form of godliness, but oh, if they deny the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't want anything to do with it. So I didn't. Praise God. And here we are today. Hallelujah. What about Lot, ladies and gentlemen? What about when Lot was told by Abraham, go pick a land? Well, what did he do? He saw Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't know what it was going to turn into, but what did he see over there in Genesis? He saw that the land was well watered everywhere. So what did he start doing? Reasoning in his mind. I think it would be a good idea. What did the Bible say? His thoughts are not your thoughts. He said this. He said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, he was a perfect example of someone who went a way that seemed right, and his life turned out to be hell on earth. Well, he should have known the word. He should have known that that's what God was. He didn't even ask God. He looked. The Bible said he saw that the land was well watered everywhere. And the Bible says he chose for himself to go there. God, notice this. God did not shout from the rooftops in heaven, start raining down different things on top of Lot's head saying, don't go, don't go, go. God will let you be led by whatever you want to be led by. He's a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything. But Lot was led that way. Why? He reasoned. He thought. He said, wow, it's well watered. Like the Bible said, it was well watered like the land of the Garden of Eden. He said, this place looks amazing. Never even asked God one time. Oh, how we do it. Oh, they're so pretty. Oh, they're so handsome. Oh, that car is the perfect color that I want. Oh, that house. Oh, that job seems so good. Do we ever even ask God's opinion on what it is? There's a way that seems right. Make sure God's in the way that you think is right. It happens all the time to people. And people wonder constantly, why am I spinning my wheels? Why is this so tough? People constantly continue to do what they want to do in life, never ever consult the Father. And he's up in heaven saying, I got your answer. I got your answer. I could just make one adjustment, your whole life will be turned, but you won't ask me. You continue to do your own thing, and he'll let you. Yeah. Lot just kept doing his own thing, and his life went down, down, down. Abraham, on the other hand, followed God, and his life went. Yeah. Two different men. Yes. Two different men. Praise God. God. So then, amen. Aren't you glad you came today?
Amen.
What do we do with our mind? And this won't take very long. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Of course, won't take very long is relative. What does that mean to you? I don't know. It means something to me, and I'm not going to tell you what it means. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to keep that a secret, just in case they don't match with yours. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So what do we do with our mind? See, the mind can be great or the mind can be terrible. Absolutely. Romans 12 verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. So don't do things the world's way, but be transformed. What does that mean? Changed. Notice this, by the renewing of your mind. Not the leading of your mind or following your mind. The Bible says do one thing with your mind. Renew it. What's the result? That you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and perfect will of God. Until you do the right things with your minds, ladies and gentlemen, you will never walk into or experience the perfect will of God. That verse tells you that right there. The way that's going to happen. Well, what in the world, Pastor Mike, does that mean to renew your mind? Go to James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now notice this, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save or rescue your souls. Remember that word souls? This can't be talking about your spirit because James is already writing to born-again Christians whose spirits have already been made brand new. Their spirits are fine. It's their minds that need to be worked out. Remember he said your spirit, soul, and body. Remember over there, and you don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, I believe it is, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to soul and spirit. The Bible says the word can divide soul and spirit. What's that telling you? One of two things, that the word can help your mind, help you get to find out what's my spirit, what's my mind. The word will help you, let you know what's your mind. Because people say, I don't know, is it my mind or is it God? Is it my mind? Is it God? The word will help you.
Amen.
And also, it's telling you that they're two different things. Divide soul and spirit. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Well, he says here, how do you renew your mind? He says, the word of God, will save your minds or your souls. So when he says be transformed by renewing your mind, he's saying to take your mind, which is your thoughts and reasonings, and line them up only with what God is saying and what God is doing, which is the Word of God. What does that mean practically? What does that look like? I hope that you understand that the reason I break this stuff down, and I hope it comes out as being simple and understand, is because that's how I learn. It's not because I'm trying to make it seem like I'm teaching to people that don't know anything. It's just the way I learn, and I hope that that's okay with everybody. I hope that people don't ever walk out of here and say, my God, he's way too confusing. I don't think I'd know how to be confusing, because I don't think I'm that smart enough to be confusing. And so anyways, I hope that this is okay with you. But he says to take the word which will save your souls. So what we do with the word practically is you take your line of thinking, however you grew up, however what grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, preacher so-and-so, church so-and-so, friend so-and-so, TV, media, whatever is being said and whatever thoughts you have concerning what you're going to do with your money, how you're going to live your life, and the Bible says you are to renew them with the Word of God. Replace your way of thinking with his way of thinking. And people say, Pastor, people have we used to have a youth group in Jamestown, and kids get delivered and set free all the time. Parents get mad. They say, you're brainwashing our children. And I didn't really have much argument against that. You're right, I am. Yeah. Brainwashing them to the Word of God. Sue me. Sue me for brainwashing your kids to do it God's way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's how you can stay, and that, ladies and gentlemen, this will help you. That's how you can stay safe from cults. That's how you can stay safe from manipulation, from preachers and different things. How? If they're sticking with the word, you're safe. Amen. When they start getting off into na-na land and start giving their own opinions, philosophies, and ideas, that's when you want to watch out and watch out for trouble. And so renew your mind with the word. What does that mean? I won't even get into the specifics of social issues, but there are a couple social issues. I'll just say them without getting into them. Abortion and homosexuality. They are social issues in this country that are huge hot button topics. They shouldn't be in the church. And I'm not here to preach on those things, but my point is you might have thoughts and strong feelings about certain things, but the Bible says your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your job is to take what he's thinking, and this is the law of the land for the Christian. Amen. Regardless, let's take money for an example. The Bible says do something with your money. You might think, man, I don't know, that doesn't feel good. Give a 10% and an offering and this, or God speaks in your heart and says, sow that offering. God might say, you're believing God for money and all you have is $500 to your name, and God says, give that $500 away. And you would reason your mind, well, Lord, if I do that, I have no more money. And God the whole time is saying, if you do that, it would put a harvest coming your way like you wouldn't believe. But see, people don't take his thoughts and make them their own. They reason in their head. I had a person no longer with us. I had a person. I ministered to them on the phone hours and hours at times they would call me. And financially, I tell them what to do financially. Well, finally I got to the bottom of their issue. They were tithing, but they were stopping at the penny. And the Bible says you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. The tithe has a purpose, but the offering is where our harvest is found. The increase will always come at the majority part of the sowing. That's seed, sowing seed. Ladies and gentlemen, the tithe isn't a seed. Right. Come on. If you stop at the tithe, I hate to burst your bubble, you're not generous. Right. You're not. The tithe already belongs to God. I borrowed a gun from a guy one time and went hunting. I borrowed a gun from him. And he said, you could use it this day, but I need it the next day. You know, when I brought that gun back to him, I didn't expect a pat on the back like I did something great. I just gave him back what was his. The Bible says the tithe is holy and belongs to God. You're just bringing God what's already his in his mind. That's not generous. Generous is when you take above the tithe, and so that's what he's talking about in Luke chapter 6:38. Give and it shall be given. You can't give the tithe. You can't give something that's not yours. The tithe's already God's. Amen. That's why he says, they that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. They that sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. That's not the tithe. Listen, if you make $10 million a year and your tithe is $1 million, and somebody made 10 cents and tithe the penny, in the eyes of God, both were as equal obedient. The one that gave the $1 million, not more, they're not more generous. Right. They're just as obedient as the one that gave the penny. Amen. Now, it's in the offering that you find generosity. Amen.
Amen.
Don't look at me that way, sour milk faces. You be happy out there. This is the new year.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tell you. And let me get to the end of the story. So they were stopping at the tithe, and finally I said, you're not giving any offerings? I said, you're not. And I never. Now, the tithe belongs to the church, but the offerings could go anywhere they want. So I wasn't trying to tell this person, sow it to the church, sow it to me, sow it to a certain so-and-so or ministry. I said, you need to give offerings. And we see with offerings, there's certain standards, right? You sow it into good ground, right? A farmer doesn't go out and scatter their harvest on the road. You want to sow it into good ground, a place that's being fruitful, productive, getting people born again, preaching the Word of God, doing good things, right? And or wherever the Holy Ghost tells you. You purpose in your own heart. I said, you're not giving any offerings? Stopped at the tithe. Well, at the first place, we found out some places they were giving offerings to. I said, you do realize what that place stands for that you're sowing into. So I'm giving offerings, but I'm giving. I said, well, you do realize what you're sowing into. And I pointed out some things. Oh, I didn't know they stood for that. I didn't know I believe that. The whole time, I said, you've been sowing your seed on the ground that ain't going to produce nothing for you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's true. And so I said, I'll give you some examples of good ground. I gave them examples of good ground. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to feel bad for saying it. I believe your local church is the best ground.
Amen.
If your family's getting taught there, you're hearing the Word of God, I believe offerings ought to go here, but it doesn't only have to go here. There's other places, other ministries, other people that you could sow it into that would be a blessing. And so we got to the bottom. I said, you need to start sowing offerings. We talked. Okay, I got my answer. Well, months went by, and I was walking out of my old office over there after a service, and I looked at the blue card. The blue card, again, said the same thing, money problems. Well, I was a little bit shocked when I saw that because I thought we'd taken care of that problem. And when I read it, the Spirit of God said, this person did not do what you said to do. They did not, which what I said to do is just the Bible. They did not start giving offerings. So I called the person. I said, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I said, I don't look at the offering. And I don't look at the offering. I don't go through people's things to see what they give. That's between you and God. Not saying I'll never do that or that I've not done that. In certain cases, I will to see what's going on with somebody's situation. But I hadn't looked, didn't know a thing if they'd given more than a tithe. And I called, I said, you tell me if I'm hearing from God or not. I said, after our phone call, I said, you didn't start giving any offerings. You didn't change anything, did you? They said, no, Pastor Mike, I didn't. And this went on and on and on to the point where I'm getting nasty responses about how the tithe and the offering, these are things that you're just teaching to make it so God loves us. That's what the Word says. Amen? So, but my point was that person had their own thinking, had their own thoughts, had their own reasonings concerning what they thought about money. They never renewed their mind to what the Word says about money, and they struggled. Why? They were led by their feelings. They were led by their mind. They were led by what they think is right. Oh, my gosh. We do it all the time with purchases, with people we're going to go on dates with. We do it all the time with where to live, what job to take. We just sign our lives up for anything, and because it sounds like a good idea, and because that's what so-and-so did or whatever, we think, oh, it's a great idea. Did we even get on our faces and find out what God was saying about it?
That's good.
I'm passionate about this because I see people all the time struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And it's not necessary because God invited you. He said, I'll direct every single way of your life. If you'll just acknowledge me, I'll turn everything around.
Praise God.
Amen. But we just go by our own thinking. We just do what we want to do at times and never even include God. And again, we're not being stupid here and saying, Lord, Cinnamon Toast Crunch today or Lucky Charms? What is it, Lord? We're not doing that. We're talking about big things of life, right?
Amen.
So don't. And remember, and we'll close with this. Remember, the mind is the devil's territory. The mind is the devil's territory. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The mind is the devil's territory. Why would you want to be led by that? That's where the devil operates.
Sure.
Amen.
That's right.
But you know how you can be kept safe from your own thinking? If your thinking lines up with his thinking.
Yeah, amen.
That's how you're kept safe. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Notice this. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So he says our problem is going to be in the area of strongholds, and he's given us weapons to pull those strongholds down. How do we do that? Verse 5 tells us how to pull down strongholds. Now remember, our weapons are not carnal. That means they're spiritual. The battle's spiritually, right? Who's the spiritual battle it's against? The devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that you have an adversary. He's the devil. That's not a natural thing. That's a spiritual thing. Ephesians chapter 6 says we don't wrestle against the natural, but against the spiritual. So he says our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God or spiritual. How then do we do these things or battle the devil? Notice this. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing, now get it, here it is. Every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is His Word. The Bible says to cast down imagination. So obviously the devil will give you imaginations. And it goes on to say bringing every thought into captivity. So imaginations and thoughts and circumstances, what they attempt to do is exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. What is that? When the Bible says tithe and your mind says, I'm not doing that. That's exalting itself. When the Bible says walk in love or forgive somebody, and your mind and your emotions say, I'm not doing that, I can't do that. Those emotions and those reasonings are exalting themselves above what God has said. That's when the danger comes. Or like God says, go to Rhema, and circumstances say, you got a free Bible school, fully paid for, job when you get home. Those things were trying to exalt themselves above what God had already said to do. And the problem is when people obey that which is exalted above, then they get themselves into strongholds. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's true. He says, what do we do with them? We cast them down. And every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity, notice this, every thought. All thoughts are, ladies and gentlemen, are seeds looking for a harvest in your life. That's why he said to cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's that look like? When you're going to do something, when there's a situation that comes your way, when you hear something in the Word and your flesh says, oh, I can't do that. I walk in love, tithe, serve in church, be faithful in my flesh and my mind. Or your God tells you to do something in your spirit and it seems hard in your mind and you're weighing those things. All they're doing is acknowledge it. The Bible says cast those things down. Bring them into captivity. When a thought comes your way, grab that thought, grab that imagination, cart it right over to the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, get rid of it. Yeah. Cast it down. It's not your thought. Say, well, my feelings, we're not going by feelings. Right. Well, but I think, we're not going by what you think.
That's right.
The Spirit of God always will line up with the Bible and what your heart is saying, because that's the same Word here as it is here. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not led by our minds. We're not led by our bodies. And next week, we're going to look at the third part of the triune being, the Spirit of God. And we're going to start getting into, because when you hear me say things like, the Holy Ghost said this, the Holy Ghost told me this, you might be thinking, how did he lead you that way? What do you mean he said that? I'm going to teach you next week the difference between being led by the Holy Ghost and being led in your mind and your body. You don't want to miss it. We're starting to get into the good stuff. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. Oh, we are so well fed. Let's thank the chef this morning. I'm not the chef. I was just the server. Let's thank the chef for preparing such a fine, fine meal. Father, we love you. You fed us so good this morning. Oh, we are stuffed to the max. You helped us. You guided us. You instructed us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know everybody in this service to some personal extent. And it's my belief that everybody in here this morning is born again. But just by chance, if there's somebody listening by live stream or on the archives in the future, if there is somebody that has not received Jesus, I never want to let an opportunity pass. So first of all, if you're in here, if you're listening right now or in the future, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know it's heaven because I'm qualified for heaven. The qualifications for heaven are believing in Jesus and accepting Him into your heart. If you can say, I know I'd go to heaven, I believe in Jesus, I've accepted Him, well then praise God, you're going to heaven, He's your dad, He wants to help you. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, you know what, maybe I've had it all wrong. I thought by being a good person or just by going to church would get me in. But when you bring out what the Bible says, I'm not so sure I would be born again. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, please nobody looking around. If there's anybody in here that wants to receive Jesus this morning, you never have, would you lift your hand high in the air? If you've already done it, you don't have to. If you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, and you've already accepted Jesus, just repent and ask Him to forgive you. But if you've never invited Him into your heart for the first time, is there anybody in this service? Would you just raise your hand nice and high? I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this service, but Lord, by chance, if somebody in here did not respond and should have, or if somebody's listening now or in the future that should respond, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they would receive Your Son and that they would spend eternity with You. Father, once again, we love You, we praise You, and magnify You in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, there is no fellowship today because of being a holiday. We don't want to have people sticking around and cleaning up. So go home and eat your cookies at home. But we'll see you Wednesday night service at 6:30. You are dismissed.